Shalom Aleichem, Chaver, it's Binyamin Hammer at National Council in Israel. We are welcoming everyone back for a new season as we conclude 5777. We thank Rebbe for joining with us for conference call number 53. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very welcome. Question number one. Is it acceptable l'chatchila to make Kiddush Shabbos morning before everyone leaves shul and consider the Kiddush Shemakom Suda because the cake and other food are in the same building? The answer is, according to the Ramah, yes. Ramah Paskins, based on Tosfos and Pesachim, that this is permissible. And according to that opinion, it's l'chatchila. There is a dissenting view. That's true. The Bir Halacha is concerned with the dissenting view. And he says, l'chatchila, perhaps it should not be done. But given the alternatives, perhaps this is a l'chatchila. Namely, if you don't make Kiddush in shul, what often happens is people don't wait for the rabbi. They sometimes stampede. If they do wait for the rabbi, they're upset. And our shul, we do it this way. I make the Kiddush, and everyone answers Amen and goes straight downstairs. They have in mind, obviously, to have the cake downstairs. And that's the Pesach of the Ramah and Tosfos, and that's what we follow when we have a Kiddush in our shul. B, would it be any more l'chatchila to pass around little cups of grape juice so they can drink as soon as they hear Kiddush? Should people be told to have kavana to continue in the next room, or is it sufficient that everyone's stam das is that they're going into that room to continue with their snack? In my opinion, it's much better that they don't drink grape juice in the shul. I'm the only one who drinks in the shul. That's a sharp drinking in shul. It's only done because it's Kiddush, and it enables the community to function better. And there's no need to tell them, obviously, this Tom Tassi, you all know that they're going downstairs for the Kiddush is announced. C, I was once at a shul where they made Kiddush in the sanctuary and then everyone went outside of the building for the food. Am I correct in assuming that that would be considered shini mokum and would not work? Based upon the simple read, you are correct. It would not work. However, not everyone agrees to that. If you look at the Sefer Shemir Shabbos Kilchosa, Perek Nun Dal Heor Lamed Gimel, a suggestion is made that if it's in one Rishus, it's a yard, especially if the yard is surrounded by a fence, then it's considered to be the equivalent of being under the same roof. And perhaps in that shul, the outside of the building, it was surrounded by a fence, which is better. Even if it's no fence, there may be a possibility, according to Shemir Shabbos, to consider it the Mekom Suda. Two schools are under Orthodox auspices, but in one, all classes, the Limudei Kodesh and Limudei Chol, are co-ed, and the other, all classes are single-sex. In fact, in the latter school, boys and girls are in separate buildings. What halacha considerations about co-education should a rav express to the members of his kehila? For example, in what grade do mixed classes begin to raise halachic concerns? In Shuvas Igros Moshe, Yoredei Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin, he says that the issue of having young students in co-educational classes depends upon a machloikas coming up in Hilchos Sukkos, Arba Minim. If you have a lulav which does not belong to the katan, we know that we're supposed to have Shalachem, the Kachtam Lachem Shalachem, the first day of Sukkos. What if you give him a lulav which does not belong to him? If it belongs to him, he cannot get it back to you, etc. So my focus, does it work or does it not work? So the Moshe depends upon the nature of the mitzvah of Chinuch. If Chinuch is just to get somebody used to something, then it works. If it's not a question of getting used to it, it's a question of following the actual din. Depends upon the din right now, then it would not work. Says Rav Moshe, here we have an opposite nafka mina. If you follow the actual din at a young age when students are younger, Rav Moshe writes, no yetzahara, so therefore it would be permissible. But if the whole idea of chinuch is to get somebody used to something for later on, then in our case it would be prohibited, because later on when they use the yetzahara, co-education would be discouraged. Now, in it comes to Hilchos Lulav, we are machmir. It's all right to Mishnah Brura. So if you're machmir there, you can be makel here. But of course, even there, there's some who are mekel. But the evidence to here too, we should be machmer lechatchila, and only mekel b'shas atchak, which is treated as a dievet. Obviously, it depends upon the circumstances. Every community is different. Every rabbi, every shul is different. But Moshe writes in Yoredei Chelek Beis in Kuf Dalet that perhaps a hefsed mammon, if it's impossible to finance it without co-education, might be considered to be a shas atchak v'dievet. Every case has to be measured individually with these guidelines. Interestingly, in terms of where you draw the line, so in Chelek Gimel, Simon Ayin Ches, Rav Moshe writes, well, maybe it's prohibited from the age of 9 or 10. Now, but then he says, maybe, certainly, in the 7th and 8th grade, it's also Medina L'chulei Alma. Apparently, when he says 7th and 8th grade, he probably meant that's when the children are bas and bar mitzvah. These days, people usually turn 12 and 13 in 7th grade. Some are already now in 6th grade. They changed the perhaps the age since Rav Moshe wrote his tshuva. I think it means that once they're bar mitzvah, you have to worry about it. And obviously, bas mitzvah comes first. So maybe you have to go to 6th grade now in certain circumstances after which it would not be permissible according to Rav Moshe. Apparently, through grades 3, he's be mekel. Grades 4 and 5, and maybe even 6, are borderline. Again, the older they are, the more chomer it gets. Question 3. Safek Jew for Jay and Vada. Reuven told me that a person who frequents our minyan is a believer in Jews for Jay. There are times when he's number 10 in the shul. I haven't had a chance to sit down with him to understand his beliefs. It has been 1 year since Reuven has seen the other person. Since that time, the other person, potential Jay for Jay, has been on a 2-month Kira program. A. Can I include the person a minyan in the state of Suffolk? I assume if he was Vadai that we wouldn't be able to include him. Well, if you spend 2 months in a Kira program, sincerely, one could reasonably argue that he did tshuva, unless he went there to missionize. It was all a bluff. He went to the Kira program to try to be merachik people, not to be mekarev. So one has to find out those facts. If he was sincerely there as a Baal Tshuva for 2 months, I think the rabbi can work with an assumption that he no longer is a Jews for Jay advocate, and therefore he counts for a minyan. If, on the other hand, he did not do Tshuva, the assumption is correct. We would not want to count him for a minyan. B, if he is excluded, should, must, I kick him out of shul or work to vikar of him, he is Jewish. The answer is, if he is going to try to take people from your shul and convert them to Jews for Jay, of course you should not let him in. It would be terrible. Terrible. Nonetheless, even if that's the circumstance, he's told he's not allowed to come to shul because it could be a damaging to other members of the shul who might be influenced by him. And sometimes these things happen, even in Orthodox shuls. One person takes a particular issue and can influence negatively other people in a manner that you would not believe, then he should not be allowed to come. Even if he's not allowed to come, should be makar of him? Sure, on a one-on-one basis. Try to meet with him, explain to him why Jews for Jay is no good. But the rabbi's first primary concern is for the community. And if he's a danger for the community, he may try to convert people to Jews for Jay, then he should not be allowed into the shul. 4. What type of funds can be accepted from the goyim? What part of the shul can they not be used for? B. Can we accept funds from a Jews for Jay? When Yoredei Siman Kuf Nun Dalet Siv Beis, so that a non-Jew can contribute to a shul, you accept it. It's written in Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Nun Dalet Siv Yud Aleph. It's preferred, the poskim say, without a specific item to the general fund. If that cannot be done, he gives a specific item. It's preferred that his name is not there in large letters, since he is not a member of Klal Yisrael. As far as a mumar is concerned, someone who's Jews for Jay, who believes in Christianity, there it says in Shulchan Aruch, you may not accept his donations. And the reason is very simple. Ov de Gachavim, Nojim Nedavim and Nedavas Ki Yisrael. Shul is like a base of Mikdash, it's like a carbon. And the Goy can bring a carbon, but a Muma may not. We all know. Adam Kiyaka Mikam, the Hotiyas Amuma. And therefore, money may not be taken. The Shach is more lenient and says you can take from a Muma, it's not a real carbon. Mr. Brewer, Kuf Nun Dalat Sifkod Mem Ches is Machmir, like the Ramah. And although there's an impression that even Mechal and Shabbos are included in this category, you may not take money from them either. The minute today is to be makel to take money from a Mechal and Shabbos. In most circles, in certain Hasidic circles, they won't take it. But most circles, they do take it. If you look in the Sefer Pisgei Tshuvos, he says a couple of reasons. One, today most Mechal and Shabbos is Tinin Shenishba, and other reasons as well. But someone who accepts a different religion, as he writes there in Pisgei Tshuvos, there we do not take. And therefore, you should not be accepting funds from a Jew for J individual. Five, a new gartel for our Sefer Torah is a Velcro fastener. The Gabbai showed me that it appears to tear fibers when pulling it open. Is a Velcro fastening system permitted for use on Shabbos and Yom Tov? The answer is yes. The source is Shmira Shabbos Kulchasa Perek Tetzvav Sif Pei Dalet and Ha'ara Reish Samach Vav and Zion. Quote, the Eino Tfira El Karoches Beis Lulos Basel Zebazeh. Apparently it may appear to be tearing fibers. It's not really tearing fibers. Just pulling little items apart from one another along the lines of a zipper. We assume that's permissible. Question number six. A family would like to attach a baby swing and a hammer to a tree in their backyard. In both cases, they would drill into the tree all the hardware before Shabbos and connect the swing and hammock with a metal esuks to swing and lie down. There's an Erev in the backyard. Is it mutter? Simon Shin Lamed Vav Sif Yud Gimel Tzdadim of an Elon or Asur. Tzidei Tzdadim is mutter. What is Tzidei Tzdadim? What does it mean? So it means if there is a pole which is placed, drilled into a tree, that which is hanging from that pole is called Tzidei Tzdadim. It seems that the swing and hammock are included in the category of Tzidei Tzdadim, and you may, in fact, lie down in that hammock. The Shemir Shabbos passes this way in Perek Chavav Sif Yud Zayin. Question 7. My shul has decided to purchase a motorized retractable awning for use during outdoor kiddushim as a sunshade, for summer camp, for the children, and to double as a sukkah shlak. It is water resistant. The awning can open and close by a remote control and by a hand crank. A, can we review why a shlak does not have a din of opening and closing an umbrella? It's an excellent question. If you look in Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa Perik Chavdal and Sif Tetzvav, he quotes, Geder Godru Gidole Hadoros. A lot of alliteration. Not to open an umbrella, not even to use an umbrella which is open before Shabbos. The Chazon Ish says, Uvdon Dechol, a Pirtza for Chilul Shabbos, Poretz Geder, found there Ha'or and Nunhei, which is worse in a sense than a particularly local prohibition. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman quoted there, says, well, maybe it's also Mikra Din, because the Bir Halacha in Simon Shin Tez Vav Sivches, the Masal Tefach, that the heter that the Chazon Ish employed called Kisei Traskel. Kisei Traskel means a system which is fundamentally there. You just have to press a button or open up a system where the cover's there in potential before you begin. Chazon Ish assumes that applies even to a case where it gives shade. And Rosh Lam Bazam, of course, is not so convinced. And therefore, it may be also even Me'ikir Hadin. Frekt of Shlomo Zalman, your question. How is this different than the shlak? Where it says in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Reish Chav Vav Sif Gimel, we allow on Shabbos and Yontif. Apparently it's not a Nuvda Dechol. Apparently it's not a Pirtza to Chilul Shabbos. So the Poskim say that there's a distinction between something which you walk around with, carrying in the street, that's not considered to be Shabbos dick, and something which is used to cover a sukkah for a mitzvah and stationary in one place, which is considered to be not a violation of Uvdu Dukhol, it's not a piercing of Chilul Shabbos, and as long as you overcome the heter, the iser of Oel proper, which either does through the heter of Kisei Trasko, in the case of a shlak, if there's no tefach between the shlak itself and the schach, there's no iser of Oel, according to most poskim. Either way, the minig is to be makel in this shaila. Question B, can a dual-purpose shlak be used as a shlak? Yes. Question C, if mutar used as a shlak, is there any issue for the non-Jewish custodian to use the remote control to open and close the shlak? Well, it shouldn't be done unless there's no alternative. If there's no alternative, it's called a shvus to shvus, but mokom mitzvah. But that's only a heter in a pinch. We try not to rely upon this lachatchila. You've spoken about this in the past in terms of non-Jews operating elevators and things of this nature. In my view, the heter of shvus to shvus but mokom mitzvah is based upon this fake of the Rabbanon Lekula in the shaila of Yesh Shlichus Anachri, Bava Metzia Dav Tzadi Amad Aleph, which is unresolved by Lo Sachsim Shor B'dishal, last week's Parsha, and we are makel, because it's fake of the Rabbanon Lekula, but only when we have to. We try to avoid relying upon Shvus to Shvus Mokom Mitzvah equally, unless there's no alternative, as Shas Tzchaka B'dievet. D, can a Jew open and close the shlak using the hand crank? Yes. Yes. If yes, does the plug-in motor for the remote control have to be unplugged even though the motor will not operate without the remote control? No. No need to pull out the plug. E, find the same thread. Can a stationary, huge sun umbrella covering outdoor furniture be opened and closed on Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Shemir Shabbos there says that the Chazon Ish is matirit. And if Shlomo Zalman is not so clear, he says maybe the shlak is mutter because there are already walls on the side, and maybe it's not so high over the schach, as opposed to this kind of an umbrella. So once again, Chazon Ish is matirit, and therefore those who will not rely on it can do so. Shlomo Zalman is not so clear. Don't want to be a machmir. Should put it up from before Shabbos. To review the halacha of women dancing on Simchas Torah, dancing behind the kosher mechitza, tangent to the men's side, dancing while the men are holding Sifrei Torah and while the Aron Kodesh is open, dancing in a separate room. The word halacha in the introduction to the question should be understood in its broadest sense. If we discuss specific halachas, then we open up an entire Pandora's box to questions much greater than this. We like to talk about it from the broader perspective. That's how my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik spoke of it, as it's quoted by Rabbi Meiselman in his work, Jewish Women and Jewish Law, and in other sources as well, that my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik felt, in his words, as it was quoted, that it's having hakafas for women is a violation of synagogue etiquette. That's a hard phrase to understand in its fullness, but I understood it. What it meant was women dancing with the Sefer Torah. While there may be particular violations which poskim debate, which we're not going to go into now, the Rav was more concerned about the broader picture. It's never happened before. If it never happened before, it shouldn't be starting to happen now. It's a violation of the Mesorah about the Knesios, about the Midrashos. And for this reason, as a Talmud of the Rav, I'm very, very opposed to such practices, even though in places near me they take place. I think it's a violation of the synagogue etiquette, and in some ways, these violations, to paraphrase the Chazon Ish from before, are pirtzus and poritz gedder, which are in some ways even worse than specific violations. However, I believe this is limited to a case where women are dancing with the Sefer Torah. If they're dancing on their own, behind the kosher mechitza, while the hakafas are going on, and the men holding Sefer Torah, while the Aron Kodesh is open, or in a separate room, in all those cases, in my opinion, it is permissible. Whether it's advisable in a particular shul, that the Rav has to make a case-by-case decision. One year, in my own shul, they asked me, can they pull the mechitza and dance while the... I said, yes, and they did. I guess it didn't catch on, it didn't happen afterwards, but I would not oppose it. I think that in the world we live in, to oppose too much is also not appropriate. Okay, question number 9. Is it sufficient to scan mezuzahs or to have them checked by a sofer elsewhere? What about maros dam? It's clearly better to check the mezuzah for real. If it's impossible, for whatever reason, then there is a possibility of scanning it. Those who know the computer system which is utilized by the Vavne Shmeres Tam to check Sifrei Torah is also based on a scanning system, very sophisticated scanning system, and it has caught innumerable mistakes which were not caught by human sofrim. That's why in Ashul, all the Sifrei Torah have to pass that computer test. That's because it's used, number one, in addition to a human test. And number two, it's impractical to have so many people look over the Sefer Torah, and therefore the additional level of computer is used and finds mistakes that humans miss. We hope, when it comes to mezuzahs, it's not the case, because it's a smaller number of characters. It would be a good idea to do the same thing for mezuzahs, and therefore, to answer your question, to do both. Number one, to have it scanned and given to the Vadim Shmeres Tam or whatever equivalent these days that's checking the computer, because a human error exists. But number two, I would suggest that it be checked in real life by a real life sofer. As far as Maros Dam is concerned, there recently they publicized a new app, the Mara app. And the Rabbanim came out very, very strongly against it. Now, it is true that in the publicity, it was stated that this Mara app is meant primarily for those who cannot have access to a rabbi, but they also threw in for those who, where there is no rabbi or for some reason don't feel comfortable speaking to a rabbi. That's the problem. That's the problem with other institutions as well, which I'm not going to discuss right now. If there needs to be a comfort level that a rabbi should answer these shaylos, if the woman's afraid to have it given to the rabbi, in most cases it can be given in a place where it can be left. If she won't leave it, her husband can leave it. Or if she wants to give it to the Rebbetzin, it can also be done. I found that in my Rabbonis, the women, generally speaking, are not afraid to show her, give a Mara to me directly, although often they come, their husband brings it. And we paskin a shayla the way it should be paskined, knowing who the person is, knowing what the circumstances are. Part of the anonymity, which goes with together with the Mara app, which is, again, other institutions have anonymity from the rabbis as well, which suffer from the same significant problem, is if you're anonymous, you can't give a proper answer. It's impossible. You don't know all the circumstances. You just don't know who the person is, what the situation is, what the level of frumkai, what the shalom bias is, what the circumstances. It's impossible to do this remotely. Nonetheless, having said all this, if someone is in a place where there's no other rabbi, and or maybe another rabbi has it, he wants to hear your second opinion, then if it's done with proper technology, it can be done. If it's a keser, the penny should be placed next to the maras, because otherwise it's impossible to get the real size. And a veteran rabbi can figure out, based on what's sent him on his phone, that's how it works these days, whether he can answer the question or not. He may say, I can't answer this question. This is too close to call. You need a real live rabbi that is seeing it in, directly, not through any pictures. Or you could maybe give an insight to the local individual, whether it be a rabbi or whether it be the woman herself, to try to come to the proper conclusion. But again, this is not an appropriate substitute for Rav seeing a Mara in a normal situation. 10. With a whole bunch of 3-day Yom Tovim come up, can we clarify when one must wait between Mincha Maariv and when can we go straight? Is the goal of waiting that Maariv shouldn't end before the Zman of Motzei Shabbos to prevent Hachona? Or is it enough that Kiddush shouldn't be made before that Zman? With regard to Hachona from one day Yom Tov to the next, is there any Indian to wait to Rabbeinu Tam Zman, if that is what one usually waits, for non-Malacha preparations just setting the table? Okay. And every 3-day Yom Tov, there are 4 Mincha Maarevs. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. It happens three times in a row, with the exception of Yom Kippur. On Wednesday and Friday, technically speaking, it's permissible to daven Ma'ariv right after Shkia. Mincha right before Shkia, Ma'ariv right after Shkia. Obviously, it's better to wait, simply in order to read Kriya Shema B'Tzibur. People may forget later on. And, as is true in many shuls, that's when the Rav gives a drush or a shir. Talmud Torah, the Rav, is important. People can wait a few minutes to hear a shir. In my shul, on a typical Friday night, we have regular Kabbalah Shabbos, so I say a shir between Kabbalah Shabbos and Marv, and they're talking about when the time when there's only 1 minion in shul, not when there are 2 minyanim, as they have in the summer. And with that, there's a little Talmud Torah the Rabbim. We try to say Kriya Shema Bizmano, and I think that's the best way to do it. Of course, that is assisted by the Kabbalah Shabbos, which takes quite a while. If you do that on a regular Yom Tov, the shir is going to have to be longer. So in my shul, that's what happens. The shir is longer. So we'll daven Ma'ariv half an hour or so after the Shkia, which is the Zman Kriya Shema according to the Shitas Agro, as it applies in our town of New York. And we have Talmud Torah Derabim, as well as Kriya Shema Bizmana, according to the Gro. And that's what's ideal. That should be done on Wednesday and Friday as well. In some situations, the Rav cannot get that done for whatever reason. And so that's okay. If you can't get it done, they can daven immediately after the Shkia. They can start, say, Baruch Hu after Shkia, and then come home earlier. On Sukkot, people should be cautioned not to make Kiddush until it gets, until Tzeitzit Kochavim. But the truth is, until people get home, even if you daven Marav takes time. Until they walk home, it takes time. So by the time they make Kiddush, and now they're on Otsi, it's probably after the... at least the Gaon's man, and maybe even the latest man as well. On Thursday and Moshe Shabbos, the custom is not to start Ma'ariv until after Tzeitzit Kochavim. This was done in most shuls every single Shabbos. And it should be done on Thursday night, going from day one to day two as well, even Rosh Hashanah, when it's Yom HaRichta. Shas HaTzchak, in some shuls, they at least make sure not to make Havdalah, not to finish Ma'ariv, until after Seis HaKochav. Again, can't say it's prohibited completely, but I guess it's true if you will start Ma'ariv. When I start Ma'ariv in my shul on Friday night, about a half an hour or so after the sun sets, until you finish Ma'ariv, it'll be a time for Havdalah in many shuls. In many shuls, they probably have Havdalah for an hour after Lich Benchen. That's 42 minutes after Shkia. That's a compromise with Agudas Rabbanim post-World War II, when the Hasidim wanted 72 minutes, and it was even an earlier Zman in this country before that. So that's a compromise which is printed in many, many calendars. And by 42 minutes after Shkia, we have to assume that Mi'ikar Adin Shabbos is out. Rav Moshe wants 45 or 50 minutes to be safe all year long. So every situation should be evaluated separately as far as that's concerned. In my shul, we don't even daven Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos or on a Thursday night of Yom Tov 1 and Yom Tov 2 until 45 or so minutes after Shkia, which is the Motzei Shabbos man for us and the Motzei Yom Tov man for us. Because after all, we say in Zemiris, Hamachem Lateis Menas Shabbos. So you never told Sefer Shabbos. So if you do it in that fashion, I believe it's preferred. But again, every Rav has to know his own community. As far as Rabbeinu Tam, if a person holds Rabbeinu Tam is really right, there's an Yisra Achana to Rabbeinu Tam. If you're just afraid of Rabbeinu Tam, you're afraid of an Yisra Malacha, which is an Yisra Daraisa, then you can be Mekel and Achana the same way as your Mekel, and then, you know, there's Zman for Kol HaTorah Kula, Zman Krishma, Sfira, etc., which is, again, 42 minutes, 50 minutes, some are even shorter Zmanim, some say it's an hour, And by the way, Sefer Rabbeinu Tam is more than 72. Sefer Rabbeinu Tam is 90. Some say it depends upon the degrees of the sun beneath the horizon, which can be even more than 90. If you take 90 with degrees, it can reach 144 minutes in the summertime. So everyone has their own version of Rabbeinu Tam's mind is as well. 11. A girl in shul just turned 12. She has her own issues when the family dynamic is a complicated one. She davens with her father and spends time sitting next to him. How should this be approached? What can we allow and not allow her to do? Seems to me that's not allowed for a girl of 12 years old, who's a grown woman, a bat mitzvah, to sit in the men's section of the shul. She wants to come to shul, she should daven in the ladies' section. She's afraid for the family, she should daven at home. I do not see how you can let a girl of 12 years old sit next to her father. Frankly, it shouldn't wait till 12 years old. It should start much earlier. Not to allow girls to sit in the men's section. Every shul has its own cutoff. Most girls on their own feel uncomfortable in the men's section from a much earlier age. So that should be encouraged, that at a much earlier age they should daven if they're in shul in the ladies' section. Question 12. Someone was cleaning out their parents' home and found a large bag of old pushkas. Some of the organizations cannot be identified or no longer exist. There's also money on the bottom of the bag that could have come from any of the pushkas, as many have been opened. There are also many notes indicating that at some point the pushkas were used to make change or to borrow small cash. How can the child sort this out in the best possible way? In my opinion, should give all the money to the existing organizations for which there were pushkas. Those don't exist, or you can't identify, give that money to the ones which do exist and are identified. Can we review what to look for in kosher tekiyos? And when, what must something be repeated? Of course, you can spend hours and hours on this. We'll try to be brief. We know that the tekiyah of Tashrat, tekiyah shvarim, true tekiyah, has to be the Shulchan Aruch 18 kochos. That's how long its duration has to be. How long is that? So it seems to me that the proper shear is 2.5 seconds. I know that Rav Moshe held 4 seconds and others had even longer shear. There was a wonderful Jew in Washington Heights named Mr. Ashkenazi, who was an expert in his field. He is the one who discovered the gap in the Nixon tapes. And he sent me his computer printout, 2.5 seconds. And that's what I was relying on for many, many years. Recently, a new Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah called Dirshu came out, and it's Siman Tov Kuf Tzadi, footnote 6. They quote the exact same result based on computers from the late Hagoyen Reb Rafal Shmuel Lev Zatzal, who did the same exact thing with a computer that came out to the same exact shear of 2.5 seconds. If the key of Tashrat is less than 2.5 seconds, yes, it's appropriate to go back. Of course, it's very difficult to measure seconds and half seconds. It's very hard. The Makri, who's usually the Rav, has to estimate in his head. You know, when we were youngsters, we used to count in certain activities, 1,000, 2,000, and that's approximately a second. So in your mind, if you count that way, and it's 2.5 seconds, it's okay. Usually it's longer than that. If you're in doubt, maybe it's a little shorter than that. In my opinion, don't go back. The worst thing is to confuse your Valkyria. We should do everything in our power not to force them to go back. Then he gets disoriented and the Sutton gets in. Just keep going. Again, if it's certainly less than 2.5 seconds, you have to go back, because that's clear. But if you're in doubt, let it go. Why? Because all you need is a total of 3 tashrats the entire day. We blow 10 tashrats, for those of us who blow 100 kolos. There are 10. Now, it's true, there are certain different ways of blowing. Let me discuss that right now. There are 2 ways. There's Neshima Achas and Shtei Neshimas. According to almost all poskim, you can be Yotzu with Neshima Achas. According to many poskim, you cannot be Yotzu with Shtei Neshimas. According to many times, Shtei Neshimas is preferable. So the Shulchan Aruch, they got to have a custom of blowing Neshima Achas for the Tekiyos to Miyushov and Shtei Neshimas for the Tekiyos to Me'umot. If you look carefully in the sources, that's because in the Tekiyos, the Me'umad, and Shmoneh Esrei, they didn't blow 3 Tashrats. So therefore they had a Tashrat. I take that back. They didn't blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat for each of Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofos. They blew only Tashrat, and Tashrat had to count for Tashat and Tarat as well. It's a big question how that works. But it can only work if it's Shteina Shemus. So that was their custom. It seems to me, that's what later Poskim say as well, it's preferred to blow in the Shema Achas both in the Tkiyas to Miyushu and the Tkiyas to Ma'uma, because Tkiyas to Ma'uma may be the main Tkiyas, and quote, the main sheet is the Shema Achas. When we blow the three Tashrats after the Shemon Esrei during Kaddish, that should be done Shtei Neshimas, and the good Makwi will change his style. Shvarim Trua is Neshima Achas, Shvarim Trua is Shtei Neshimas. That's the way it should be done. So even if it's done that way, you still have at least six Tashrats of Neshima Achas, and the one at the very end, they do 10 at the end, is often also in the Shema Achas, so 6 or 7. So therefore, if it's a suffix, whether it's 2.5 seconds or less than 2.5 seconds, let it ride. And if you want to keep Cheshvin, you'll see that in one of the later Tashrats in the Tkiyas Tamud, there'll be clearly all of them longer, the Tkiyas, than 2.5 seconds. Okay. Therefore, again, there are other Chumras. There's a Chumrah which says a Tkiyas has to be absolutely straight. No hiccups. No, just straight. None of that stuff. Just straight. That is a worthwhile chumrah to follow. And in our shul, the Baal Tkiyah tries very hard to keep that chumrah. But you know, here and there, in the beginning or at the end, or even in the middle, there could be a little hiccup. I do not ask him to go back for the same reason. The hope is that somewhere along the line, there'll be sufficient number of tashrats, tashats, and tarats with no hiccups, with no changes in the sound. And if you want to keep track, you can do so. And at the very end, if you run short of something, you maybe ask them to blow a straighter tkiya. But otherwise, it's really not worth it doing it, because you can have them get disoriented, and it's worse. Okay, shvarim, according to Tosis, is simply a straight sound. Ooh, 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 three of them. Each one should be three kochos. What's three kochos? Less than a half a second. Quote our simple arithmetic. Less than a half a second. It's 1/6 of the 2.5 seconds. So it's a little less than a half a second. Almost every shever will make it. Again, if you're in doubt, if it's even a half a second, don't make them go back. There'll be enough good shvarim, hopefully, down the pike. Trua. According to Tosis, is 9 very short kochos. 9. That's it. Everything else is a chumrah. You want to make a shvarim, which is tuhutu, a hutu. You want to make a truah, which is the yekesh or taimana. These are chumras. You want to do it after davening, it's fine. But I don't believe that it should be done in the middle of davening. We do these traditional tkiyas that we have, chachmei ashkenaz and the Baal HaTosfos, that has been accepted in our communities. And please, it's not worth getting the tokeya out of his strides. If he's in his stride, it usually works well. If you get out of his stride, it usually turns out poorly. Question 14. Our synagogue has engaged a rabbinic intern for the Yom Nerom and is in the middle of a search for this coming year. The young rabbi has no experience being the makri. How about Kiyas a fine mentor, an experienced shofar blower? What are the criteria necessary to be a makri? Of course, the young rabbi can read out the kolos, but if we are relying on the Baal Tekiah to know what is acceptable or not, do we even need a makri? Yes, you need a makri. Even an experienced Baal Tekiah can make a mistake. Just blow the wrong thing. Experience, of course, is valuable to be a makri, but it's not indispensable. Given the basic laws that we just spoke about, they should know what's going on before Rosh Hashanah a little bit, and he should ask the Rav what the Rav Paskins, when he should go back and not go back. If there's no other Rav in the shul, he should find a different Rav to ask him what he thinks. And again, when he's in doubt, he should rely on the experience about the care to decide whether there's a need to go back or not. And he signals him with his head. In other words, if he's the Baal Tekiah himself thinks this is no good, he shakes his head no, and he'll notice to repeat what to do, or be quiet and he'll repeat it. If he thinks it's good, and he gets a questioning look from the makri, shake your head, nod up and down like yes, and he'll know to call out the next kol. Finally, a congregant has a yahrzeit on Yom Kippur. He very much wants to daven for the yomut. The shul as well as a hired chazan defer and allow him to daven mincha. Is this the correct thing to do? Some years he takes out 15 people from Meyer, makes a separate minyan, and they come back for slichas. Is this the correct thing to do? If not, how should this be addressed? So as far as A is concerned, it all depends on what kind of baal tefillah this yahrzeit is. If he's a good baal tefillah, even though the chazan, the hired chazan is better, then the community and the chazan have a right to be mevater, allow him to daven for the amud, because it'll be an inspiring davening for the people. Okay, it'll be a little different than the hired chazan, but some of the differences is also good. As long as he knows the nusach and can carry a tune, even if his voice is not so great, that would be acceptable. If, however, he doesn't know the nusach, he can't carry a tune, and the people will be disturbed by his davening for the amud, then he should not be davening for the amud Yom Kippur. Just can't do it. And the question will become, what do you tell him? You tell him like this. You're being mevater not to daven for the yomud on Yom Kippur, which is going to disturb the people who are used to hearing proper ivra and a proper tunes carried with someone who knows how to carry a tune. You're being mevater on that will be the greater ilu neshama for your parent than the davening for the yomud. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta was once confronted with such a situation where he had a really kedima to daven for the yomud, and some other guy walked in and wanted to take it away. Rabbi Yisrael walked away from the yomud, and he asked him, Rebbe, but you have priority according to the rules and regulations. He answered, it'll be a greater ilu neshama for my parents' neshama that I mevater and let someone else take it than to have someone argue about it. Same thing is true if the yahrzeit Yom Kippur is not capable of davening for the yomud. Of course, the problem will be if he thinks he's capable and he really isn't. That requires some kid gloves to tell him that, you know, on Yom Kippur we have a higher standard. You have to know the tunes better. You have to know the ivra better. Hopefully he'll be able to be mevat. Be absolutely prohibited to break away a minion to take out 15 people for a yahrzeit. It's clear from all the lengthy descriptions throughout the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah and the Poskim about who has priority. A yahrzeit, a shloshim, a yud beis chodesh, is back and forth, a toshav, an oreach. There's so much ink spilled. What's the problem? Just make a separate minyan. It's a dochak to say that all that ink was spilled only for a shul, which is less than 20 people? No. We assume it's not appropriate for shuls to break off like that. There should be one minyan, Brovam Hadras Melech. So that's what has to happen in this case as well. I assume that he realizes himself is not enough of a baal tefillah for Kol Nidre, for Mara, for the entire shul, that he realizes, because it's more piyutim and whatever it may be, more singing. So you got to tell him that the greater ilu neshama, if he is mevater and allows himself to daven in the shul with everybody else, with the 15 people, to increase the Rovam Hadras Melech and increase the unity in the shul, the achdus in the shul, and the quality of davening in the shul, that's a greater ilu neshama for his deceased parent. I wish everyone a ksiba v'chasima tova.
Thank you, Rebbe, very much. We hope we can call upon you in a few weeks. Thank you. Take care.